a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. Would everyone please turn off your cell phone as a courtesy not only to the witnesses and the audiences, but also to the folks on the committee. So please turn off your cell phones. Thank you. Will the secretary call the roll?
Senators Cutler, Hansen, Krebs, Maher, Hunstad, Frisley, Valley.
Here.
Five present.
We have five present. We have a quorum. The minutes have been provided in your black books. The chair would entertain a motion on those minutes. Senator Frisley has moved approval of the minutes. Is there a second? Second by Senator Hansen. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are approved as provided. On behalf of the chair, I want to welcome everyone that's here in the audience and also for those back home on the internet. The pages, I would like to have them start coming up to the podium here and introduce yourself and where you're from. If you are testifying today, make sure that you sign in at the podium. Go ahead, pages.
Derek Chase from Huron.
Hey, Derek.
And I'm Jake Clark from Watertown.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. As I was saying, be sure and sign in at the podium, and if you do have something to hand out, give it to the pages, and they will distribute it to the committee members. We have a real light bill load this morning, and I have asked them also to kind of give a brief explanation as they go through it. So without any further discussion, unless someone from the committee has something, we'll move to public testimony on Senate Bill 42.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Deborah Hilmer, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. Chairman Valley asked me to kind of explain our fuel tax since we had a little bit more time this morning because this bill does deal with fuel taxation and how we handle fuel. We talk a lot about we changed in 1990, in the 95 legislature, and it was effective in 1996, from taxing the fuel at the distributor level to taxing it at what we call the rack. And when we talk about a rack, we're talking about the fuel that comes into the terminals, and then when it's pulled off of the terminal or the pipeline and put into the truck, that's the rack, and that's where we actually apply the tax at that particular time. And that's kind of that's what this bill really deals with. One of the things that came up during this last year is we had a situation, and I don't know if it really happened or if it was hypothetical situation, but we had the question of if you pulled fuel from the terminal, from one terminal, and transported it by truck to another terminal, was it subject to the tax? And we want to make sure that when you pull that fuel from the terminal, that we do collect the appropriate tax on that fuel at the time. Otherwise, you have a gap or a hole there where somebody could be pulling fuel from a terminal saying that it was going to another terminal when, in fact, it was being delivered to a location, and therefore we would miss the tax on that fuel. So what Senate Bill 42 basically does is, and it's in very rare circumstances that it even probably happens, but what Senate Bill 42 does is it clarifies that when that fuel is pulled from that rack, regardless of where it's to be destined to, if it's pulled from the rack and the destination is in South Dakota fuel tax applies. And that's pretty much what Senate Bill 42 does, isn't it? It just clarifies the tax is assessed at that particular time. So I hope that kind of gives you an overview. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But we're just trying to ensure that the taxes are collected so that we can collect the needed revenue for our roads and highways. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Hilmer. I can't remember. You introduced yourself when you came in, didn't you?
Yes,
okay.
I did.
Any questions by the committee? Senator Hunstead.
If this tax, your scenario at the beginning was it was being pulled off to go to another terminal, I can't imagine why anybody would do this, but you brought it up. Would it be then subject for the tax a second time when it left the second terminal? And how would we know which gallon had the taxes previously paid?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hunstead, that's a good question. It's subject to when it's pulled out of the first terminal, but then it would not be subject to the tax when it's pulled out of the second. If it's, but nine times out of ten, it's just going to the separate second location, perhaps not being put back into the pipeline and coming over the rack, but being pulled from another location. So it would not be subject to the tax the second time. It's only subject to the tax once.
I have a question. How do you keep track of knowing how many gallons to tax? Is this done by the person that's running the terminal and the gallons through and it's audited? Just kind of give us a basis of how that is done. And then if it is does go to another terminal, then it comes in and it's you have a auditing sheet that says already taxed, and so that means that at some point when that comes back out again, you can say so much has already been taxed when it goes out. Is that how you do it? Is there some type of bookkeeping record, and who tracks that? And if you could help us there.
Yep. Thank you, Senator Valley, for the question. When it comes off of the rack, there's a bill of lading that is produced, and it comes from a supplier. That supplier may be Texaco, it may be Sinclair, it may be CHS, Cenex. I mean, there's a number of people that are licensed with us as suppliers in this state. In fact, I think there's like 52 or 62 suppliers that are licensed with us, where we get approximately probably 95% of our revenue from those suppliers. So when it's pulled off of the pipeline, because they're the ones that own the fuel within the pipeline, when it's pulled out, a bill of lading is created with a destination on it. So it indicates at that time that destination would be, if it in fact was, let's say, pulling it from the Mitchell terminal, transporting it to the Sioux Falls terminal, the bill of lading would indicate that the consignee was Harms Oil, for example, and that it was being delivered to Sioux Falls terminal. And that's how we track it. Then we go from the supplier to the consignee in this particular situation, which would be Harms. And then we look at what Harms has received, and then we identify if that has had the tax paid on it. So we do a lot of that tracking. We get electronic reports from terminals, and then we do a cross check against the number of gallons that then the marketers have reported to us on a monthly basis. So we do some cross checking on those, and if we find some variances, then we contact them and try to determine if the proper amount of tax is paid. The biggest issue is, you know, at the federal government, it's all taxed at the same rate and it doesn't matter. But when you talk about states taxing, the issue comes from crossing borders, importing and exporting of fuel, because you might pull fuel from a terminal in Yankton or in Nebraska and import it into South Dakota. And so there is a mechanism. We have what we call importer-exporter licenses, and those people have to report and file with us when they bring fuel in and when they export it out of the state. So we do cross-checking and tracking. We do have a number of auditors that go out and audit our licensees to ensure that we're collecting the appropriate amount of tax on our transactions. So we are looking, hope to in the next year or so, have actually a mechanism for electronic filing so that they can file their schedules, because we get a large number of schedules, as you can well imagine, detailing the bills of ladings, who the transporter was, where the fuel was pulled from, where it was delivered to, and so we're hoping to do that electronically and therefore eliminate a lot of that paper. So we think we have a pretty good, relatively good system in our taxing. We think it's done what we intended it to do back in 95 and 96. I will let Donna speak for herself, but I think the industry also appreciates the work that we've done in that particular area to try to streamline this entire process. So,
thank you. Do you have any problems like with the? I was just wondering the import and export. Do other states pretty well want to cooperate because they've got the same issue in their state?
Mr. Chairman, yes, we do. We have a great working relationship. We actually have several groups that we belong to, and we get together maybe once a year to discuss border issues. If you have problems with a particular licensee, we may discuss, and we may even go in and do what we call a joint audit with the other state to ensure that the appropriate amount of taxes are paid in each jurisdiction. So, yeah, we do. We have a great working relationship, and we try to identify a lot of those loopholes or breaks in the system. So,
and my final question, I think, is any problems? Do usually flows pretty good. Do you have any major problem?
Right now, Mr. Chairman, no, we don't. We really have not identified serious problems at this time in the fuel tax collection system. It works pretty smooth. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Hunstad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What kind of percentage of, you know, you're bringing up something here, and we should probably just pass it and move on, but as you talk further, what percentage of our fuel comes into this state by a truck? My impression was that most of it comes in a pipeline and gets distributed within South Dakota, but then from your discussion, it occurs to me that it could be pulled out of a tank, out of a terminal in Iowa and brought across the border into South Dakota. They probably wouldn't tax it if it was just going somewhere else there, but it would be taxable here. What percentage moves in and across our borders via truck?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hunstad, I don't know that I could give you exactly the number of or the percentages that there are, but the majority, I would say, comes in through our pipeline and is pulled within the jurisdiction. Correct. Within South Dakota. But there is situations, and Donna, I'm sure, will visit a little bit more about what those are, but there are situations when we may be out in the pipeline here, but they may have it as an allocation in Nebraska or Minnesota or North Dakota, sometimes in Wyoming. We have that basically, I think, the two pipelines, the western one out in Rapid and then the eastern one, Magellan and is it Rocky Mountain or Kanab? But she can talk a little bit more about the pipeline system. But the majority of it is pulled within the state. But it depends on the availability of the fuel, too. So I'll let Donna maybe speak to that a little bit more.
So. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further witnesses.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Donna Leitsky, I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And we do support this bill. And a couple things I want to add, and then I can answer any questions that you guys have. But this situation has never happened that I have ever heard of. But when someone comes to Deb and says, hey, I'm interpreting the law a little different, it sends a red flag to me that says someone has thought about this situation and someone has thought that, hey, there's allocation, and allocation on a pipeline means that if I'm a Sinclair dealer, we'll use the Mitchell pipeline, they might say, Sinclair, you have 8 loads of fuel, which means 8 trucks can come and pull that. Some bigger wholesalers might say, hey, I want all of those because I have a lot of people to supply. That's what would set up this hypothetical situation to me, is they'd come pull all those loads and then sit somewhere like Sioux Falls and then delay the tax. And we do not want that to happen. I think this would just, if that happened, you would have all kinds of situations. how do we track how they pull off the pipe? Deb explained a little bit about that, but when a truck goes to the pipeline, I can't just pull up and start fueling. I enter what's called a Petro X number, which is a number that's unique to my company that allows me to pull off what brand I am. Let's say that I'm a Sinclair person and I have a contract with Sinclair Oil Company. My Petro X number says Donna can pull only Sinclair off this pipeline. She can't pull Exxon, she can't pull BP, she can't pull Senex. That's what she gets. That's how they lock you out of the system when you're on allocation. I enter my Petro X, it says 8 loads of Sinclair has been pulled, you can't get fuel. That would set up your situation. And that situation, when you're talking about how much is imported into the state, during the harvest mostly, and now this time of year, I worry a little bit. I get a pipeline report every day. It's really cold. We need number one diesel fuel for diesel engines when it gets below a certain level. But mostly during harvest, months of September, October, November, our pipeline, because South Dakota sits at the end of the pipeline, we have three pipelines, like Deb said. We have Rocky Mountain out in the west. We have NuStar, which has got 5 terminals in the state, and we have Magellan. We are at the end of the pipe, and we're a small population, so when the suppliers decide who's going to get fuel, we usually get shorted because we only have 750,000 people. When that situation happens, our guys are forced to go to Nebraska, Iowa, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, Wyoming. We travel a long ways, Montana in some cases, to get that. That's when the importer would kick in. Also, just for your information, in the western part of South Dakota, there's a company called Wyoming Refining Company out of Newcastle, Wyoming. And a lot of the guys in the west actually go directly to the refinery to pull that product instead of going to the Rocky Mountain pipeline in case of outages, especially during the Sturgis rally. So that situation does happen too. But I think this is just an important bill just to clarify to my guys that you pay when you pull that first out of that first terminal. We do not want in any way to get muddied. I think the system works fantastic. Deb and I were just visiting. I came to work for the association in April of 95. My very first duty was to help revamp the forms for the fuel tax. And my guys were not happy about that. Some of them were because of the way they had to pay. They thought they would have to lose money and pay sooner, but that was my first duty of this. So I got intimately involved with Deb in the fuel tax system right away. So I will answer any questions if anybody has any.
Thank you, Donna. Any questions for Donna? All right. Thank you. Good job. Further proponents of Senate Bill 42. Further proponents of Senate Bill 42. Last call for further proponents. Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 42? Any opponents of Senate Bill 42? Last call for opponents of Senate Bill 42. If not, are there any further questions of any of the witnesses? If there is not, we'll close it to public testimony and open it up for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass. Senate Bill 42.
It's been moved do pass on Senate Bill 42 and has by Senator Hunstead, seconded by Senator Krebs. Is there any discussion on that motion? If there is no discussion, the Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay.
Senators Cutler, Hansen,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Maher, Hunstead?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
6 ayes.
Senate Bill 42 has received a vote of 6-0 and therefore passes, and we will take it to the floor.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hansen.
I would move that we put this on the consent calendar.
It's been moved by Senator Hansen and seconded by Senator Krebs that we put this on the consent calendar, and since it doesn't have an emergency clause, it doesn't require 2/3 vote. We can, I think we're safe to send this to the floor with the consent calendar. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. It will so go. Senator Maher, if this gets pulled from the consent calendar, would you, take it to the floor? And would you also take it to the caucus? Thank you. Is there any other business to come before the committee? If there is no further business to come before the committee, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Been moved by Senator Krebs, seconded by Senator Frisley, that we adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Meeting adjourned.